May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1064. How vain are all things here below, how false and yet how fair. Each pleasure has its poison too, and every sweet a snare. Hymn 1064.
From the Word of God, we'll read the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. The Gospel recorded by John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me, for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray thee, Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have sent, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Gracious, holy, eternal Lord God, help us now to draw near unto thee in prayer. Teach us what to pray for. Send down answers of peace. And give us the faith to look for the answers. Help us, Lord, to thank thee for thy mercies to us, to acknowledge thy great goodness and kindness to each one of us, in bringing us again into thy house, the beginning of another week. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies, thy kindness and providence. We thank thee, Lord, for thy kindness and grace. For our health and strength. For our homes, possessions, loved ones, careers. The measure of comforts that we all enjoy, the peace and security that we have. For thy precious word of truth, which we have had the privilege of reading, and which we have access to so easily, when others in other parts of the world do not have this blessing. We thank thee, Lord, for the freedom to worship openly, without fear of persecution. We thank thee, Lord, for thy glorious gospel, and for all the blessings which flow in and from and through Jesus Christ, the Saviour. We thank thee for the love of the Father, for the gift and the grace of the Son, for the Holy Spirit's comfort, communion and guidance. Help us, Lord, to enter into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise. And may we adore and wonder at thy kindness to us each. And Lord, help us to acknowledge, like Jacob of old, that we are not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, let alone the greatest that thou canst bestow. Now, Lord, we come as poor sinners around thy word. We come, Lord, to worship thee. Give us, Lord, of thy spirit, else we cannot worship thee at all. Give us, Lord, that spirit of reverence and respect for thy holy name and thy great majesty. Do come and make one of our number. Come and stand in the midst and pronounce pardon, protection and peace. And lift up thy hands of blessing upon us. And send out those showers of blessing from thy word this day. May our souls drink of thy mercy, those streams of mercies never ceasing, which call for songs of loudest praise. May the King himself draw near and feast our souls today. And at the end of the day, do not depart, Lord, but abide with us through the days of this week. May we know thy blessing and thy favour and thy help, thy guidance, thy protecting care. We pray thy blessing upon thy people here. Bless each one found in thy courts and those absent. Each, Lord, with their various needs and concerns and cares and burdens. Do abundantly bless them, we pray. Bless them, Lord, with faith in thee. Bless them, Lord, with that living relationship with thee. The blessing of sin forgiven, of peace with heaven, of the love of God overflowing in their souls. And then help them in their providential pathways in life. And supply their every need, bear their every burden, relieve every care, guide in each pathway that they must go. Bless the ministry of thy word here. And crown thy gospel with success as it is preached here. Bless thy word as it is read. Bless, Lord, thy word as it is placed outside this chapel. And we pray that those who take a copy of thy word may be truly blessed as they read its pages. You have any here who need thee in any special way? Any, Lord, in trouble, in sorrow, in sickness, in distress, in perplexity, in adversity? Those who need guidance in the way that they should go? Bless parents and help them to bring children up in thy fear. And do bless the children and early in life, visit them with thy salvation. And make them a blessing to this and other houses of prayer in time to come. Bless the deacons of this cause and do help them in the office that thou hast called them to. And do bless our friend here in the lonely pathway he has to walk, and do help him and draw near unto him. May he know thy comfort and sustaining help. Bless each member of this church. May they be united. May they be kept together. May there be peace among them. May they know thy help and thy blessing. May they know the blessing of being loved with an everlasting love. And blessed by thy almighty care. Do bless the Sunday school and help those who labour there. And bless the seed as it is sown. May it bear a fruitful harvest in time to come. Bless each member of this congregation. Visit each one with thy salvation. Bring each to know thee, and in thy time constrain them to openly confess thy name here. Do bring in others to worship here. For the empty pews with souls hungering and thirsting after thee, we pray. Bless those who are visiting from other causes of truth. May they feel at home today and feel that their steps were ordered to be here. And we pray, Lord, thy blessing to rest upon thy church as it meets today up and down this land and worldwide. Bless thy people as they meet. Bless thy servants as they preach. Bless the reading services that are conducted. And Lord, may this be a day to remember with thanksgiving in time and eternity to come for what thou didst accomplish. May lambs, Lord, be born into thy flock this day. And Lord, may there even be a lamb born here. The beginning of that work which will end in heaven. And then, Lord, feed those whom thou hast begun that work. Grant that there might be that growth in grace, that more clearer view of thee, that closer walk with thee, that more establishing and strengthening into the truth, that growing up into full spiritual maturity. And then, Lord, bless those at the end of life. And grant, Lord, that they may prove at evening time it is light. May they look up with joy with heaven, their journey's end in view. We pray, Lord, that we each may be prepared for that day, for that hour, for that moment, when we must pass into eternity. Lord, may we be on the covenant ground that day. Bless those who are elderly and infirm. Sanctify old age and weakness and weariness of the body. Bless those in the midst of life with its burdens and cares and concerns. Remember one here in the anticipation of the birth of a child. And grant thy help and grant thy blessing upon that life. Remember, Lord, those in the beginning of the journey, the children. May there be many Samuels and Ruths among them. Those who shall grow up to be mothers and fathers in Israel. We pray, Lord, for thy people wherever they are, whatever circumstance, those in bereavement, some, Lord, who will stand around an open grave this week, be with them. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst remember the nations of the world in this critical time and grant wisdom to our rulers to handle matters wisely and in thy fear. We pray, Lord, for thy people in Ukraine. We ask thee, Lord, to protect them and surround them with thy care. We pray, Lord, if it is thy will, that thou wouldst bring an end to this conflict and to this war. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst call by grace the ruler of Russia and open his eyes and bring him to see the wrong he is doing and bring him in true repentance to thy feet. And then, Lord, there will be peace in the best of senses. And we pray, Lord, that other rulers of this world may equally be called by thy grace and learn to pray and to seek thee and to find thee in a time when thou mayest be found. We ask now thy help as we turn to thy word. We ask a blessing upon it. Honour, Lord, honour us now, Lord, with thy presence. And speak unto us the word of life. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 477. Give me the wings of faith to rise within the veil and see the saints above. How great their joys, how bright their glories be. Hymn 477.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn to John chapter 14, verse 6. The sixth verse of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here we have a glorious answer to a question from Thomas. Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? How ignorant the disciples were. And how kindly, gently, and compassionately did the Lord bear their weakness. Here he is on the verge of suffering. His last words to them before he leaves them. And it is evident from this chapter just how little the disciples really knew. They were still earthbound. They were still expecting the Lord Jesus to establish an earthly kingdom. And that is why so much of what he told them they could not understand. And yet after his resurrection, they would see very clearly what he meant. But if the question was perhaps a poor one, the answer was not poor. What a precious answer we have here. What words of grace and wisdom and teaching and profit for the immediate disciples to treasure and to take note of. Then and in time to come. And what precious words they are for us in this day and generation as well. For we have here in our text the way to heaven, the only way. Jesus saith unto him, here's the first lesson, and it is Jesus speaking. If anyone else said these words, they would not be true. They would not be worthy of our attention or of our trust, but because it is Jesus speaking, we know that we can rest absolutely, completely, and truly on his words, because his words are faithful and true in all circumstances. Jesus saith unto him. Beloved friends, has Jesus ever said anything unto you? It's one of the hallmarks of real religion that Jesus speaks to his people. And although it may not be in face to face as he did here with Thomas and the other disciples, yet if Jesus speaks to you, there will be such a power in it, it will be as if he did speak to you face to face. You'll know he's spoken to you. Never man spake like this man. There is a power and authority in his word. You know when he speaks. Covet words like this and ask Jesus to speak unto you the message of life. If he does that, it will be a word specially for you. It will be a suitable word. It will be a precious word. It will be a saving word. It will be a word which has an effect in your life. Your life will be changed from when he did not speak to you. How many sermons could perhaps be spoken on just these few words if grace were given? On the various times in the Word of God where we find Jesus speaking. You must be born again is one of them. In other words, that just as we all have natural birth and a natural life, so if we are to get to heaven, there must be a spiritual birth. There must be a spiritual beginning before there is that new life. It is an absolutely vital point. The beginning has to be right if the rest is to be right. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. First of all, he says, I am. Let's not rush too quickly over these first two words. I am. Of course, these words have a great significance for first century Jews, because God made himself known to Moses and to the children of Israel in the Old Testament by this word, by this name, I am. And here the Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples, I am. I am true Almighty God, as much Jehovah as the Father is. I am co-eternal. That means that he has lived as long as the Father and the Spirit have lived, which is forever. God never had a beginning. As long as eternity past existed, which was forever, you cannot measure it. But for as long as that was, Jesus could always say, I am. I am almighty, all powerful, reigning in glory. I am all wisdom and all knowledge. I am in all places at all times. You ever considered the greatness of our God? How many different services are now simultaneously taking place at this moment in time in our country? How many prayers have been put up at the same time? And yet God has clearly heard each prayer as if there was just one person who'd prayed. He hears every conversation that takes place and is not confused. He observes every event that takes place and understands more clearly than those who are walking through those events. He can bless. He can speak simultaneously to countless people at the same time. And yet to that one who he is blessing and to that one who he's speaking to, it's if his full attention is undivided upon them and that he's only blessing and speaking to them alone. Such is something of the greatness of our God. I am. I am the true Almighty God. This wondrous man of whom we speak is true Almighty God. He bought our souls from death and hell, the price his own heart's blood. But if it is true of I am of the past, it is equally true of I am now. As he has reigned and guided and watched over and delivered and blessed in the past, so he does now today, and so he will today. You can seek now that his blessing may come to you today. And it will equally be true of tomorrow, of this week and of all the tomorrows. Whatever you may have to face, whatever trouble, difficulty, darkness, distress and sorrow, perplexity may come, I am will remain over it all. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty works of the sea. When those waves are roaring in your life, may you see that written above. I am here, watching over you, protecting you, overruling on your behalf, and I'll bring you through. I am. But then he goes on to say, I am the way. He doesn't say, I am a way. He says, the way. It's quite clear from our text that there is one and only one way to God. Not all ways lead to God, just one. All other ways lead away from God. Are you in this way? Are you travelling in this way homeward to heaven? Or are you travelling in one of the thousands of different ways there is, away from heaven, away from God to hell? I am the way. Let us be thankful, first of all, there is a way which God in wisdom and in mercy and in kindness has made, by which poor sinners and rebels of the earth can be reconciled with God. Is not that a great mercy? Is not that an undeserved favor? God would have been perfectly just never to have made a way back to him when we rebelled and sinned against him. There was no way back for the devil or his angels when they sinned. And yet in sovereignty, in mercy and in love, the Lord Jesus says to poor sinners, I am the way. The way to God. You know what the hymn writer has said. The more I sinned against, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, yet the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Lo, glad I come, and thou blessed Lamb shall take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Nothing but love shall I receive. To those of you this morning striving against sin, you have done your best. You have sincerely tried your hardest. And yet you have failed again and again and again. And perhaps you come into the house of God wondering why. Friends, because you've been trying in your own strength to overcome. And you cannot do it. Jesus is the way. And when you are drawn by his gracious love into this way, he will give you that grace that now you lack to overcome. He will give you the pardoning grace and mercy when you are overcome by evil. Because even those who are in this way remain sinners to the end of their life. I am the way. He is the way of righteousness. And those who are found in this way are brought to trust in the obedience of Christ rather than their own obedience for their salvation. And you'll never find peace all the while you're trusting in your own obedience. It is Christ's obedience which is saving, not us. And if you're brought into the first part of our text, you'll be brought to see it. I am the way. Jesus is a holy way, says a hymn. And while it is true that those who are brought into this way are brought to rest on Christ and what he has done, yet there is also a change in your life. If you're found in this way, you'll know something of the presence of Jesus with you. And that presence will sanctify your life. That means it will change your life. That means that Christ will influence your life. And therefore you will do some things differently from what you did before when he was absent from you. There will be a striving against sin. There will be times when you have to deny yourself and refrain from doing things that once you used to do. And it will not be easy. There will be a battle against Satan. Satan will oppose you every step of this way. But you'll overcome at the last. Because with Jesus at your side, you cannot fail. I am the way. And there is a separation from the world. It must be so. After all, beloved friends, if we are going in this way, we are going in a different direction and to a different destination from those who are not in this way. And it therefore means that there is a difference. A difference which grace makes. You will be brought to see it and to know it. And yes, those who haven't got grace will be brought to know it too. The world does not like a believer, but they recognize it when they see one. You can't hide it for long. Because if you have grace in your heart, your conversation will be different. From the world. Your dealings will be different. Your principles will be different. Your pleasures will be different. Your very life will be different. And you know, your life speaks louder than just your words. And even if you don't speak with your words, your life will speak. I wonder what our life says. Others. Is there really a difference? If there really is, it will show in our lives. I am the way. And yes, there will be persecution in this way. There will be opposition. There will be hardship. After all, the way the Lord Jesus himself walked, was that not a way of persecution? Was that not a way of hardship? Was that not a way of loneliness? And your master's lot you must expect. And we mustn't be surprised if the world treats us the same way as it treated him. Because it hasn't changed. The world hates Christ as much now as it did when he was upon earth. But the way you endure is by relying upon him, leaning upon him, looking unto him, resting upon him, praying to him. That's how you overcome. By asking him for help, for aid, for assistance, for patience, for grace. And he will give it to you. Often the reason we do not overcome is because we do not ask in the first place. We try and get on in our own strength. And is it any wonder that we then fail? The strongest Christian is the one who asks God for the most. That is an important part of what prayer is. Asking God for what you need. I am the way. And if you are in this way, it is a way of prayer. You'll know what it is to need to pray, and you'll know what it is to have answers to your prayers. I am the way. We're found in this way, we'll be keeping the Lord's commandments. At least twice in this chapter, the Lord emphasized that the proof of those who love him is that they obey his word. They obey his commands, they obey his will. That's what his commands are. Those 10 commands that he has given, you will seek to obey them, to demonstrate your love to him. It is a privilege, is it not, for a believer to do what God desires us to do? The hymns, one of our hymns says, in pleasing him is their delight. And if we're found in this way, we will be found keeping his commands. As he gives us the grace and the strength and the ability to do. He will give you that grace to love him. Whereas before you hated him, or despised him, or shunned him. Now he'll be your chief desire and delight. Where once you couldn't have cared less whether you kept his commands or not, now your desire to seek what his will is, and then seek that ability and that grace to do what he says. You will seek to follow his example. You will seek to worship him and put him first in your life. You will seek to abstain from all appearance of evil. You will seek to love your neighbor as yourself. He'll give you that grace to live as he lived. He'll give you that grace to be separate from the world. He'll give you that grace to crucify the flesh, to deny yourself. He'll help you to keep his day holy. He'll give you grace not to steal. Whether that is something physical, or whether it is stealing your employer's time or your school teacher's time. You know, that's just as much stealing. If you are not working when you are being paid to work, but doing something else, in God's eyes, that is just as much stealing as it is going into a shop and taking something that's not yours and not paying for it. He'll give you the grace to serve your employer in a different way, perhaps, than you ever served him before. He'll give you that grace to forgive those who wrong you. Whereas once you would have sought revenge, where once you would have hated them. And in God's eyes, if you've ever hated someone, you've murdered them. So in God's eyes, you are no different to someone who has actually committed the act of murder. and you need God's forgiveness for it. Equally, we are told in the Word of God that those who have lusted in their own hearts after another are equally as guilty of committing adultery as those who go on and commit the actual act. You see, it begins. All these acts begin, the root begins in the thought. And even though you might not carry out the actual act, the thought is still sinful that you've taken pleasure in. We need just as much forgiveness for our thoughts as for our acts. We need to ask God to give us that grace to watch over our thoughts. And that as soon as Satan brings in those thoughts, he may stem the tide of sin. I am the way. Beloved friends, if you are found in this way, you will be brought to see as never before what a sinner you are in God's sight. Yes, if you're found in this way, you won't be pharisaical. You won't be looking at others and thinking, I'm better than them. You'll be brought to see that at heart you're no different from them. And that you need saving as much as they do. I am the way. But then Jesus is the way of forgiveness. He was about to go to the cross to shed his blood and to be punished in the place of his people. And here we find the way where you can be forgiven, the only way. Not for our efforts, not for our good deeds, not for our obedience to his commands, right though it is we keep them, yet that is not enough, that is not the way of forgiveness. God forgives through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And God sent his Son to Calvary that you, coming sinner, may find peace, may find forgiveness, may find rest, may find comfort. Was it for crimes of the hymn writer that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity. Grace unknown. And love beyond degree. And if you are brought to experience that, you'll know something of the wonder that the hymn writer knew when he penned those words. The amazing pity and grace of God. That he should remember you. And that he should punish his beloved Son for you instead of punishing you. The amazing pity and grace of God the Son in being willing to go to Calvary and in that sacred humanity endure that punishment and taking the blame as if he had committed your sins instead of you. And that one who you had wronged, bearing the punishment of your wrong for you. Is not that amazing love? Amazing compassion? Amazing grace? I am the way. And when you're brought to Calvary, you'll be brought to see something of the love, the mercy, the compassion which fills the heart of our Redeemer. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. Never forget the cost to the Saviour that he could say these words, I am the way. They're very simple words, even a child can understand them. But what they cost the Saviour is indescribable. In terms of pain, loneliness, misery, and darkness, we can only very faintly comprehend and understand it. I am the way. And here is where a coming sinner finds peace with God. And you who this morning feel afar off, pray to God that he may draw you into this way, so that you be no more a stranger, you be no more far off, but brought to know a God near at hand, to be brought to what the hymn said, there would I find a settled rest, while others go and come, no more a stranger, or a guest, but like a child at home. This is where he'll bring you, like that child at home, a child at home. It's secure. It's at rest. It has all it needs because its parents are near. And it trusts its parents implicitly to do all that it needs. So by grace, a child of God, when they are brought to experience this relationship with God and to enjoy it, they are like a child at home. They have peace as they rest and trust in their kind, gracious Heavenly Father. I am the way. Way to heaven, to the presence of God, to the comfort of everlasting life. Well, we'll leave it there this morning. Lord will, we'll continue a little further this evening. May the Lord draw us each into this way. And those of you who are children this morning, pray to God that early in your childhood he may show you this way. that you may be favoured all your lifetime through to walk with God in that narrow way to heaven. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen.
Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach tomorrow evening. And on Friday evening, the church members will meet for prayer at 8 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. John Rosier is expected, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Our closing hymn is 283. Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Hymn 283.
May the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with us each now and forever. Amen.